Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
3, 2, 1, and we're back. Julie, welcome. It is January the 7th.
Yes, and we've been working on all of our predictions, and we wrapped that up yesterday. So we're on to a new topic, which I think really, hopefully, will apply to every single person listening.
It's powerful practices of top-producing professionals. Well, Julie, you actually wrote a title that rhymed.
I do. It's called Alliteration. Doesn't it sound good?
Alliteration. Yes, I'll have to work on that.
That's all right.
Well, anyway, it's very good. So listen, before Julie gets to her first point, we want to remind all of you it's not too late to complete your 2021 business plan. And we are going to send you for free, no obligation, no strings attached, a fill-in-the-blank business plan. It's called Real Estate Treasure Map. Yes, this book is available on Amazon and other places such as Amazon and other places you download books. But we want to give it to you for free, so don't buy it. Just allow us to give it to you as a gift. Simply text 2021 to 855-685-1045. Go ahead and text 2021 to 855-685-1045. Do that now. You can do it while you're listening to us on your our podcast right now. Just flip over to your SMS and just text 2021 to 855-685-1045. So you know what, Julie? There's a lot of ground to cover, and I'm just perusing these points. These are fantastic points, so I'm not going to delay anymore. So I'll get started. How about this?
Sure,
this
and we don't have to do them all today. We can do, tomorrow as well.
No, I know. It's a lot. Point number one, unbridled, passionate optimism.
Yeah, so remember, this is powerful practices of top-producing professionals. A lot of you guys say, what is the difference between somebody who's super successful at this and everybody else? So that's what we're going to be sprinkling upon you over these next podcasts. Number one, Tim just said it, unbridled, passionate optimism. Napoleon Hill called this a positive mental attitude. In fact, in his writings, this is kind of nicknamed or referred to as a PMA for short. Successful professionals follow the too-soon-to-tell outlook, suspending immediate judgment of situations, but erring on the side of a positive result. So Napoleon said, quote, there is very little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is their attitude. The big difference is whether it's positive or negative.
You know, it's funny, as you were, I was reading as you were reading that out loud, I was thinking, like, remember when they're talking about the sequencing of DNAs, mm-hmm. DNA humans versus like in a monkey? Mm-hmm. And there's only like, I forget, we should have.
There's very little variance.
It's like one. Yeah. One little genetic difference or one little difference in the DNA, or someone is listening to us right now and grating their teeth because they know exactly what I'm trying to say and I'm saying it poorly. Yeah. But that is definitely what Napoleon is saying. And by the way, Julie, it's interesting you started out with a Napoleon Hill quote, because Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, is also included when you text 2021 to 855-685-1045. This is the public domain version of the book. And Julie and I went through years ago and we added a lot of content that was specifically for the real estate industry. So if you want a free copy of Think and Grow Rich, which, by the way, is an absolute must read, especially this time of year, text 2021 to 855-685-1045.
Yes. Yeah, so point number one, check your attitude. Do you generally have a positive approach? Are you generally an optimist or a pessimist? In fact, Tim, Zoe asked me the other day on the way to camp, I don't even know where she read it, but she said, what's the difference between an optimist and a pessimist?
That's awesome.
And we had a great conversation about that. So,
did she get it?
I think she does. She does. Cause then now that she understands, I can use that in conversation.
She's definitely an optimist.
Oh yeah. Naturally an optimist. So unless she gets she doesn't get what she wants, then we have to
change
seven.
That.
That's right. Okay. Number two, superior knowledge of their market. Now there's a lot to this point, so let me just kind of bring you through this. This includes not just pricing comparables and tracking comps, but also watching market trends. What's hot and what's not? New construction opportunities, companies relocating executives in and out of your town, and development. Gandhi said, quote, live as if you were to die tomorrow, but learn as if you were to live forever. Superior knowledge of these top professionals also includes knowing unique financing options, not just relying on conventional mortgage lending, not just for first-time buyers, but also high net worth clients for people who have had forbearances for the self-employed. Knowledge equals confidence and ignorance equals fear. The more knowledge you have, the more people you can help. So their superior knowledge is also reflected in the ability to find inventory where everybody else just relies on the MLS. What would you do if there was no MLS in your market? There's a little introspective question. So this whole point encompasses really the superior knowledge and being, you would say, being frosty about what's actually going on around you.
Well, going around you is more than just your, you know, your specific niche in your market.
Right.
And because what people, and I appreciate that you said this, I thought it was kind of onerous that you included a Gandhi quote, though. That was a little highfalutin, Miss Harris.
Hey, I'm trying to make them pay attention.
I know, but it is interesting because I have coached many agents in where they don't realize essentially the effect of, say, a market that's maybe two markets away or a town that's two towns away that has on their market in a good and a
yes.
bad way. And
mm-hmm.
to not be aware of what's going on in the entire community, the entire city, and maybe even that region of your state, or depending on where your market is located, there's a lot of you that sell real estate on borders or between three different states. You're going to have situations where one thing is dramatically going to affect another. And I'll give you real good examples. If you're on the border of North Carolina and Tennessee's right there, well, guess what? There's no state tax in Tennessee, and there is state tax in North Carolina. And I can pretty much guarantee you that does have an effect on properties that are right in that border. So pay attention to all of these things. That's a really good point, Julie.
Well, and even with regards, yes, state lines, but also zip codes, right? So, for example, I see this in a couple of areas. Agents will say, I want to go pursue foreclosures, but mm-hmm. they didn't even look up the fact that there are no foreclosures in their zip code, right? Or they'll say, I only want to do BPOs in the luxury neighborhoods, but there's no BPOs to be done there. You have to know what's going on to correctly pursue your spokes.
But also, they, again, valid points all, but you have to know, like, I want to get into luxury. Let's say that's something that you've aspired to do. Well, where do you want to get into luxury? I want to sell in the, whatever subdivision. Well, why don't you go there and actually do a real good in-depth study of to see what the average days in the market is, to actually discover if there's well-entrenched dominant agents. And if there's one well-entrenched dominant agent in that marketplace, well, that'll be fine. You can probably get market share. But if there's three or if there's more than three, then good luck getting any market share. Because what you'll generally find is the number one agent is essentially doing as much volume as number two and three. So if you're going to try to go there and get market share, it's going to be very difficult. You might be able to pick up some buyers, but getting listings away from a market like that that's already so competitive is very, very challenging. So do your homework first and stack the deck in your favor when you're making decisions. Again, if you're finding, for example, that of the things you've been doing just from a marketing and lead generation perspective, a lot of you are going to find the things that you've been doing in the past aren't working as well. And you're going to find that the things that were working as well are now not as profitable because the referral fees or the cost of generating leads from that particular source have gone through the roof. So you've got to be starting to think a bit like a contrarian in a market that's moving as fast as this one's going to. Remember, Julie and I's prediction from yesterday is point number 14, that there's going to be a ton of people that are getting into real estate, not just in the United States, but internationally. Real estate is going to become one of the most desirable, believe it or not, professions for a lot of the world because it has been so glamorized over the past, really, I'd say in earnest, probably last decade to 15 years. So do pay attention to all these trends and don't get so stuck in the past thinking that whatever you've done in the past will work in the future. Because one thing you can be guaranteed of is whatever you've done in the past won't work in the future or simply won't work as well. Again, listen to our predictions, the series of predictions things we did. We did four of those podcasts that ended yesterday. Go back and listen to all of those. The feedback has been fantastic.
Yeah, so point number three. Relentless upgrading of skills. Not just the acknowledgement that they need to constantly grow, but actually taking action by studying what they need to improve, getting qualified help, and being efficient about their improvements. They don't just have presentations. They're constantly upgrading their pre-listing package, listing presentation, and yes, even buyer presentation. How many of you guys don't even have a buyer presentation? Their technology skills are also constantly improving and not stagnating. So the relentless upgrading of skills. And that takes being very on purpose about it because you can just get stuck, especially agents that have a reasonable level of success, they can kind of do the same thing for year after year.
The hardest part of your third point there, Julie, is knowing who to listen to.
Well, there is compareacoach.com.
Well, from a non-self-serving perspective, that
sure.
is the hardest part. I mean, when I'm looking for information to improve one of our companies, and it's like you're trying to go out there and seek advice, I am always stymied by all the fake experts. Yes. That's the thing that really is frustrating. There's so many people out there that mm-hmm. claim to have expert status, and if you just take them by their word, or even their sort of, you know, BS'd up resumes or websites or whatever, it's very easy to get fooled. And so what I've started doing when I'm trying to basically discern who I'm actually going to listen to or not, or maybe even hire, is I'll go to the Wayback Machine, and I'll see how long that website's been up. I'll go do some homework. Obviously, you can Google the heck out of somebody nowadays. And I'll go to find out whether or not the, you know, the different references and the different source material that they're providing, as, you know, to prove that they're experts, whether it's valid. And I have to tell you, and of, you know, probably 90% of the time, I'm finding that everybody who claims to be an expert at something is absolutely not an expert at it, never has done it at a high level. And I'm not just talking real estate coaches here, because I'm not looking for a real estate coach, but I'm talking about any kind of person that we're looking to hire for any kind of expansion in our real estate business, in our coaching business, rather. And we're expanding our business, but we're also expanding our syndication business, or expanding our media business. So we're looking at hiring in many different facets. And it's very difficult to really, you know, pick through the weeds. And you're going to have to be, as a real estate practitioner, you're going to have to lead with skepticism, unfortunately, because there's so many, and I am going to be self-serving now. There are so many quote-unquote coaches and experts out there that are trying to sell you guys stuff that they actually have never even proven to work. And because they're very good at marketing, or even just moderately good at marketing, you guys are going to believe it. Coaches are the worst, to be honest with you. And I know this is not necessarily a very tactful thing for me to say, but there's so many people out there that claim to be coaches, yet they've never sold real estate, period. So here are the three rules, and then Julie mentioned the website. Here are the three rules when you're trying to decide who you're going to hire as your coach, or frankly even listen to for the sake of doing anything, whether it's financial advice, buying insurance, you know, maybe you want to get in good shape. Have they actually done it, right? So if you're, for example, if you're thinking about hiring a real estate coach, has that person actually sold real estate? Have they actually sold real estate? You will be shocked how many of these people that you're seeking advice from or thinking about doing business with have never sold real estate before. All right, if they've sold real estate, have they sold real estate at a high level? So let's say, for example, you're thinking about engaging with somebody to, you know, whatever, right, perform some service for you. And okay, so they sold real estate, great. But did they actually sell it at a high level? Then that's going to basically weed out 99% of them at that point. Because most people that you'll come across that are trying to sell you something, they, if they do have licenses, they've never really been successful selling real estate. So the third filter I'll suggest, let's say you find a unicorn, someone who has a license, someone who sold real estate at a high level. Now the third filter is going to be, have they sold real estate at a high level for a long period of time, right? Because maybe they had a couple of home runs, and maybe they were able to basically in their 1 year or 6 months they sold real estate, and that's where they hang their hat. But did they sell real estate for a long period of time like Julie and I did, selling consistently hundreds of houses per year?
And ideally in a variety of types of markets, seller market, buyer market, recession, non-recession, boom. You know, that you have to be very versatile as a coach, and it does take a lot of experience.
What you guys have to understand, and I, again, research this yourself, is most people selling you guys stuff for your business have never sold real estate, period. Have no clue really how the industry works. But what they do is they've created some widget, and they know, and don't take this the wrong way, listeners, they know real estate agents are not discerning. They know real estate agents won't do their homework. They know real estate agents are mostly just opportunistic and don't think like entrepreneurs and business people. And so they'll just flip their credit card down if soon as someone says, do you want to buy a lead? Right? Lead generation done for you. How about automated lead follow-up?
Easy button.
Agents just froth their mouth and throw down their credit cards. And then they, you know, lose however much money they're going to lose until they usually can't afford to pay for it anymore, or wise up to the fact that maybe they didn't really buy what they thought they were buying. Don't fall prey to that. Use the filters I just gave you. And if you want a more in-depth, you know, essentially set of questions to use when considering hiring a real estate coach, go to comparacoach.com. Use comparacoach.com and pick through those questions, and you'll quickly discover most of the people who claim to be coaches have never sold real estate, or have never sold real estate at a high level, or never sold real estate at a high level for a long period of time. Next point, my love?
Yes. Okay. So number four, again, we're talking about the habits of top professionals. And this is from things that we've observed from lots of coaching calls, from our colleagues, from ourselves. So number four, I think, is really critical. They say yes more than they say no. Even if they're a little bit out of their wheelhouse, they follow the it's my service attitude, or yes, it's my pleasure to help you with that, even when they know the next step might require them to ask for help or learn something new. The top producing professional doesn't live in fear of the unknown. They learn to make it known. That way they can add to their knowledge base and do it over and over. They don't say things like, oh, you know, I don't work with first time buyers, or I've never done a short sale, I can't help you, or whatever they, you know, fill in the blank. Oh, you're out of my wheelhouse because you're in a luxury price range. They say, yes, it would be my pleasure to help you. And then they figure it out. And, you know, sometimes they find like the residential agent that might have wandered into a commercial deal. Sometimes they need to partner with somebody or refer it, but they don't just say, no, that's not for me.
So the one thing I would add to that point, Julie, is definitely, especially this time of year, say yes to pretty much every opportunity you have to help someone make money, but do learn how to pre-qualify.
Yes, I mean, I agree with that.
And you should add that to that point.
Yes.
You need to become very, very efficient at pre-qualifying and knowing what questions to ask. Because, it's, you know, if someone pops up on your radar, say yes to helping them, but then feel free, you know, it's perfectly fine to say no once you realize basically they have no motivation or have no ability to actually transact.
Well, and you can only do that using scripts. Because scripts are simply questions helping you get to those facts.
Exactly. And then in a lot of cases, you're going to find that maybe they have some motivation issues that you can't fix, or maybe they have some finance issues that you can flip over to a lender that they can fix. Or maybe it's just a timing issue. Maybe this will be a prospective seller for you or what have you mid-year. So do learn how to ask discerning questions, but do say yes. Don't just start saying, well, no, I don't, you know, do business with, you know, Julia's first-time buyers as an example, but no, I don't list, you know, houses that are on the lake, or no, I don't list land. Say yes, yes, yes until proven otherwise, because you don't know what opportunities you can meander into. Maybe you've never listed land before. It intimidates the hell out of you. That's okay. Take the listing, and then you might find that the next call you get is from the developer looking to put up 1,000 houses on that parcel of land you just bought.
That's right.
Or leased, rather.
Too soon to tell, right? Back to that original point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so next point is number 5. They are stable and low drama, even in stressful situations. They lead instead of follow. The most successful professionals are versatile. They're able to handle a variety of situations with different personality styles, with care and skill, creating the desired outcome. They don't go straight to red line freak out. They're stable. They're low drama. And I mean, I have to give it to a lot of our coaching clients are like this, where they're handling so much.
What's missing from that?
What?
What's one of our quotes? It's in Harris Rules.
Which one are you thinking of?
It's too soon to tell.
Oh, it's too soon to tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, hitting the freak out button. And, you know, in coaching, we teach a lot of strategy and skill, how to keep it together and be low drama. One of those things is to not call somebody right back when they're wigging out on you.
Well, there you go. And I'll give you another idea. A couple just little, you know, takeaways from Julie's point. Always say to yourself, it's too soon to tell. It's too soon to tell when you have a really good victory. It's too soon to tell when you have a really big loss. And those things happen all the time in real estate. That's just the nature of it. So just be very mindful of the fact that saying too soon to tell gives you permission not to experience the high highs or the low lows. Because when you experience the high highs and the low lows, too frequently you're going to burn yourself out, because you're not designed to experience that sort of, you know, those, you know, Julie, have a very good Premier coaching session. Those of you in Premier coaching, remember, Facebook Live starts on Monday, much to Julie's disdain and dismay. And we'll be half an hour early. So that starts next Monday. But in the meantime, the old session on the webinar is working, and she's headed off there now. So it's too soon to tell. Again, when you're experiencing a lot of high highs and low lows, and if you're emotionally experiencing those, you're going to burn yourself out. You're not going to leave anything on the table for yourself emotionally or for your family. So again, it's too soon to tell. Julie, congratulations. You just listed a $1 billion house. Thank you. I appreciate that. But in your head, say it's too soon to tell. Julie, you just lost that $1 billion listing to your biggest competitor. And in your head, say it's too soon to tell. Because what will happen is, you know, again, if they, for example, you don't know how they, what the outcome's actually going to be, and don't celebrate, and then don't wallow too long. That's the other thing. And I'll give you another little suggestion with this final point for today anyway, as don't make any decisions after you determine when in the afternoon. So what happens is all of us get on with the day. And, you know, generally speaking, the best version of yourself is the one you have when you wake up till probably about lunch. And after that, for all, especially when you get older, so you guys in your 20s and your 30s, listen to what your old friend and coach Tim is telling you. The older you get, the less, essentially the less effective you are for longer periods of time. So when you're younger, you might be effective for maybe, truthfully, no more than maybe 4 or 5 hours a day. But when you're older, that creeps down to sometimes 1 to 3 to maybe 4 hours a day, depending on essentially what other systems you have in place to keep yourself mentally sharp. For example, standing up versus sitting down, drinking plenty of water, exercising in the morning, things like that. Not having alcohol the night before, things like that. But ultimately, what you're going to discover is your best energies are in the morning. And so don't make any decisions. And Julie mentioned, you know, don't react to things that would normally cause you to feel defensive or be offensive. Give yourself a break. So maybe don't make any real decisions, even when you have something to say and you feel totally vindicated in saying it. Oh my gosh, this is something. And I'm talking in real life or in digital anywhere. Just don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut, because I guarantee you, whatever's charging you up late in the day or early, you know, maybe even early afternoon, depending on who you are, isn't how you're feeling about whatever it is not how you're going to feel in the morning the following day. So give yourself a little mental, emotional timeout, and you can, you know, try this at your, you know, with your personal relationships, try this with your professional relationships. Just don't react. Understand the best version of yourself, which is usually shows up in the morning, is probably not going to have wanted you to react the way you did the prior day. And then you're going to spend most of the day triaging, basically something you shouldn't have done or said in the first place. So just keep that in mind. And another thing, this is part of our coaching, but this really does work. Agents who are not as evolved as what I just prescribed to all of you, and they're firing off things, and they're getting emotionally distraught, and they're trying to, you know, do things to different trigger different results, and they're not in control of themselves emotionally. Don't react to them. So if somebody shows up in your life, in voicemail, email, whatever, and they're going wacko on you, don't react. Don't jump in, because I guarantee you the next day in the morning, they're not even going to remember acting crazy like that. Real estate brings out mostly the worst in people under stress. And consumers are going to be under stress. Agents are going to be under stress, especially those who don't have a lot of experience. So remember, real estate and dealing with money and things like that, they fall under the category of one of the most stressful things. And you're combining things. So like, you know, death, birth, relocation, selling a house, buying a house, financial things. There's a list of things that cause people the most amount of stress. But almost all of them are percolating around finances. And most people have absolutely zero experience emotionally to dealing with big financial decisions. So when you're dealing with a buyer or a seller around a big financial decision, you have to understand that they're on thin emotional ice and it takes very little to get them to fall through. So if they happen to, you know, lash out at you for whatever particular reason, do not react. If you have other agents, it's very similar. A lot of agents don't have the experience to know how to behave or know how to keep their emotions between the line. And an agent's job is most of the time, or at least a lot of time, as being Dr. Phil for their customers, right? You all of a sudden find yourself with your real estate license. Seems like you're also an amateur psychologist sometimes. You know, you're working on your fellow agents. Maybe you're working on the buyers or the sellers. You're keeping deals together. That's real estate. That's what it takes to understand that that's part of the job. But the way you maintain yourself is remember those two things. It's too soon to tell. And just prevent yourself from reacting emotionally. Use the too soon to tell if someone fires off something at you and you're feeling that, you know, guttural, egotistical wanting to lash back. Nope, just, you know, shelve that. Give yourself some time to think about it. Guaranteed you'll feel different later. And this is how you actually can constantly improve your business, because you're not draining yourself. When I've seen a lot of people do, who are not able to keep their emotions between the lines and follow these sort of survival techniques, really, is they then start, dosing themselves. They'll take little, you know, alcohol. They'll do other little things, and they'll get less sleep. And then they'll basically, the problem that they had, or the problems that they have, then compound. And then they lose a whole year, or they lose a whole decade. And this is, you know, they all other kinds of, you know, negative things happen as a result. So just please remember, ultimately, you can't control what comes at you, but you can control what you and how you react to what comes at you. And the best way to do it as you're building those control muscles and those mechanisms is just to take a breath, and I mean that in a literal physical sense, and then, you know, don't react. And I know it's hard not to, but just don't react. And just remember, probably the person in the morning that you are is not going to react the same way as the person you are at 4 p.m., let alone later in the day, especially if you're, you know, say 45 or older. So just keep these things in mind, guys. These little tiny, I hate the word hacks, but these little tiny tips, suggestions, survival methods really do, they compound, the benefits compound over your career, because you'll be able to help more people at a higher level, and you'll be able to do it from essentially a better state of consciousness. And in other words, you'll be able to think clearer and give better advice and give people essentially, and you also don't need to be people's emotional punching bag in a real estate transaction. This is a great piece of advice we got from our original broker, Rory Averill in Worthington, Ohio. He's, I'm sure, still owns RE/MAX North. Fantastic broker. And he used to tell us, because Julie and I certainly didn't know all of this when we started selling real estate when we were early 20s, right? We didn't have the mental and, I would say emotional fortitude to deal with the dynamic ways that different people react. And I remember we were dealing with this really nice gal. She had this house listed that had been listed two or three times. She listed it with us. It was going to be our highest sale price, but she was losing, and I remember the amount of money, $45,000. In other words, she essentially bought it where the market was different and the house had essentially depreciated, and she was having to pay off the mortgage. She was going to have to write a check for $45,000. Now, she could afford it. She had the money, but she was so distraught. It was so unbelievably emotionally draining. Remember, we were new agents, and we wanted to, you know, keep the deal together, but we also wanted to help this gal. And this wasn't even that expensive a house. If I remember correctly, this was like less than $400,000, and she was losing $45,000. So she's showing up at closing with a check for $45,000. Now, some of you have never dealt with that before. That's called a buyer's market. In a buyer's market, you see prices depreciate, houses depreciate. Well, you know, this was something that was really draining for Julie and I. And then Rory told us something. He said, Tim, show emotion without being emotional. So you can show empathy and sympathy. You can show emotion, but, you know, don't be emotional. In other words, don't internalize it. And he was telling us to learn how to be a professional. And I really, obviously, and this is 25 years later, I never had forgotten that because it's so important. And that's how every professional acts. A doctor or, you know, any kind of, but any person that's directly giving life-altering, potentially, advice to anybody or suggestions, they're having to basically show compassion, show emotion without being emotional. And that's one of the key, essentially, elements of anybody who's truly successful. You can call it acting if you'd like, and that's fine. But the reality of it is the result's the same. The person on the other end that you're trying to help is being helped. And at the same time, you're preventing yourself from essentially being drained. You're preventing yourself from essentially becoming that emotional punching bag. But you know, the person who you were helping, your customer, your client, they weren't perceiving you as being cold and uncaring. And at the same time, you left some on the table for yourself and for your family and for other clients, right? You guys get that? So even if you don't understand what I'm saying intellectually, you understand what I'm saying emotionally, because at, you know, even if you're brand new in real estate, you've experienced what I'm saying. You know, you have friends that basically are emotionally draining, maybe past people you've worked with. So show emotion without being emotional, and remember the other things we suggested as well. So we're going to pick up where we left off today, tomorrow. In the meantime, guys, thank you for continuing to make this the number one listen to daily podcast for agents in the United States. We're now being downloaded on a regular basis. It's in almost 60, like we're being downloaded in over 60 countries, but not on a regular basis. On a regular basis, it's like 54 countries. And it is our great honor and privilege to be part of your lives. And it's incredibly meaningful for us that you guys choose to listen to Julie and I for the sake of building your real estate careers and really your lives. And for that reason, we're enhancing everything we do. We're going to have massive growth, not just in this podcast, but in our coaching business and everything we do. We're looking forward to learning how essentially be able to service you guys in the different countries. We're reading and we're studying. Right before the podcast, Julie was writing an article for six that's going to be published in six different magazines, four of which are international. That's frankly where we're getting some of our notes for the podcast today, from the article she's writing. All these opportunities, they present great challenges for us, because you don't just sell, you know, when you're talking to somebody in Mexico, or you're talking to someone in Brazil, or you're talking to someone in India, or you're talking to someone in Portugal or Italy or France or wherever, those markets are very similar. Essentially, all the, you know, psychological and financial angst that people feel transacting, exactly the same. But the mechanics of how transactions are done, radically different. Like, we're here in Puerto Rico, right? EXP Realty just opened Puerto Rico, which is fantastic. But Puerto Rico has no MLS, right? The transactions are done differently here. So the nuanced differences make a significant difference sometimes in how you go about presenting and how you go about selling real estate. So we're having to learn all these things, or at least we're having to enhance what we already know. So why am I telling you that? Because Julie and I are putting ourselves in that position of essentially being consciously incompetent. In other words, we know what we don't know, and we're forcing ourselves to learn. And that is a gift we give to ourselves because it opens our minds up to so many different opportunities. I hope you're doing the same thing for you. I ended yesterday's show more or less pleading with all of you to make sure you're not focusing on the past. This is one of the sort of problems that we're going to have, a legacy problem we're going to have from 2020, is there's a lot of people that are going to carry around a lot of baggage for a long time. And I remember after the housing crash, 07, 08, 09, there were people that have never gotten over that. There were people, and I know some of you are in this situation, who are still licking your financial wounds from that housing crash, who are still, like, you know, your behaviors forever changed. And you missed the seller's market as a result. You missed this big boom market as a result, didn't you? Because you're constantly in a state of waiting for the other shoe to fall, waiting for the big, you know, flock of black swans to fly over and dim the light. That's what you are waiting for. It never happened. And maybe it's going to happen in the future. Chances are it will. But what are you going to do? You're going to miss the market that we're experiencing now. So you've got to, you have to acknowledge the fact and be introspective about where your dominant thoughts are. And if you want to know what causes you stress, and this is a little, you know, pop psychology for you, but it's interesting nonetheless. It's when you spend too much time in the past in your mind and too much time in the future in your mind. When you go to either one of those places, what you're going, and that's where your dominant thoughts are. What are you not experiencing? If you're in the past or you're in the future in your thoughts, you're not experiencing the present. And the present is where you're going to find your happiness. Even on stressful days, you're going to find your happiness. You're going to find the joy in life when you're present. You're going to find nothing but stress worrying about, especially 2020, or worrying too much about the future, right? That's where you're going to get yourself stressed and burned out. That's where you're going to basically fall prey of inaction and complacency in a lot of ways. So just keep all these things in mind. If you guys have not purchased Harris Rules, it is available at Barnes & Noble. It's available everywhere. I love the pictures, by the way. When you guys go to the bookstore and you take pictures of it on the bookshelf, especially when you take pictures of it on the bookshelf of you holding the book or buying the book, we get virtually nothing from the sale of those books. And I'm not telling you this for financial reasons, but it does make us feel really good, frankly, to see that we're helping more people. The book has now well over 400 five-star reviews. So if you've not purchased Harris Rules yet, if you've not purchased the audiobook, do so, because it's obviously helping a lot of people, and we'd love the opportunity to be of service to you as well. In the meantime, you guys have a fantastic day, and we will talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.